Well, we've been practicing and practicing and practicing, and this is supposed to be a one rehearse play. That's what it started out as. But Cindy and Marnie and Mackenzie and others have been very involved. Deidre. And so we are ready to bring them up, and then there'll be introductions. After the play is over, each child is going to say who they are, give their name. Okay, you ready? You're on. I can only kill so much time.
They're a nice looking group. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. Oh, it's been exciting. Look at all these little ones we have in our church. Isn't that wonderful? It's just great. In the Psalms, it said that children are a gift from the Lord, and they definitely, definitely are our little gifts. We just love them and appreciate them so much. They're just so adorable. A big thank you to Deidre, Linda, Marnie, Mackenzie, and everyone else. I hope I didn't forget to mention, but it's just been a pleasure. And this is our rendition of The Night Before Christmas.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse."
"Hold it a minute. That's your first mistake. I'm stirring like crazy to get these Christmas goodies finished. There is no rest for this hard-working mouse."
"The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, and hoped St. Nicholas would soon be there."
"Oops, that's mistake number two. Those socks are by the fireplace to dry out. The kids in this house can't seem to stay out of the wet snow."
"The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads."
"Sugar plums, schmugger plums. These kids are dreaming about gifts and stuff and things. They don't care if the stuff dances or not. They just like the loot."
"Mr. Mouse, you certainly seem negative about Christmas. Are you a little disturbed?"
"Christmas? Bah! Humbug! All it is work and worry and loot and bills and gimme, 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 got it."
"Oh no, Mr. Mouse. Christmas is much, much more than that. Let me grab the first edition of The Night Before Christmas and see if that will help you understand. Now settle down and listen."
"'Twas the night before Christ's birth, and up in the sky, the angels were preparing to be heard on high."
"Tonight's the night God is sending Jesus down to earth."
"I'm so excited. Who should we tell the news to first?"
"Let me look at our assignment scroll. We are to go to the hills outside of Bethlehem to a group of shepherds."
"Shepherds? Shouldn't we tell some important people?"
"It's God's plan for you to tell the shepherds first. The birth is just the beginning of the plan."
"Well, God knows best. Let's get the other angels and head out. Lead on, Gabriel."
"Oh,
The people in Bethlehem, a small rural town, were just getting ready to lay themselves down.
I have so much to do. I've never seen so many people in town. This tax census from the Romans is really causing a lot of headaches. My place is so full, I've had to turn people away. Just a little while ago, a young couple begged me to let them stay in my stables. I let them. The wife is expecting a baby any time now. I suppose it is better than sleeping in the street. Maybe I should go check on the couple. Nah, they'll be all right.
And out on the hillside while watching their sheep, a group of young shepherds were falling asleep when suddenly out of the sky came a light. An angel appeared, making everything bright.
Peace to each man. You need not have fear, for the news we have brought you will find very dear.
A baby is born this night. It's his birth. He's come to save all the people on earth.
In Bethlehem town, you'll find this dear child with Joseph and Mary, his mother so mild.
Sharing a manger with oxen and sheep, nestled in blankets, the babe sound asleep.
Good news we bring you this wonderful night.
Jesus is born.
Let us run to the sight.
A vision. The world will take to a sheep with Zoe.
Just stay, oh, close.
A vision. The Lord will take care of the sheep. Let's hurry. Did you hear what the angel said? Jesus is born.
So after the angels delivered the news, the shepherds went searching with no time to lose. And just as the angels had told them aloud, they found Jesus with Mary and Joseph so proud.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds out in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they made with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told to them.
a great story. Jesus was born on that first Christmas day.
That's right. Jesus was born on the first Christmas day, a gift from the Father. He planned it that way.
And every dear person who hears and believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. For all folk have sinned, have gone their own way, but God listens closely when we choose to pray and choose to love Jesus who came down to earth to live and to die and to give us new birth.
Terrific! Christmas isn't all loot and gimme, 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 got to. It's really Jesus and joy and love straight from God.
Congratulations. Now you know the reason for the season.
Go ahead and be seated. Now we get to introduce everyone before they leave. How about that? Okay. Kira, say your name, first and last name.
Kira Geneva Hastings.
Kira. Good job. Can you tell me your first and last name?
Cash.
Cash Wire. Good job. Made a great Holstein, didn't he?
Braylon Marie Gilbertson.
Braylon Marie Gilbertson? Yeah, good job.
Paxton Kunder. Violet Dates.
It's our little angel.
Hezekiah Tolman.
Good job.
Jackson Mel.
My name is Morgan Zinke.
Morgan Zinke. Nice angel. Good job.
Skylar Kundert.
Good job.
Maddox McGinnis.
Sienna Hastings.
Harper Hastings.
What was that?
Harper Hastings.
This is in such a hurry.
Thatcher Schlimm.
Didn't he make a great Gabriel? Don't you think of Gabriel looking like this?
Eli Schlimm.
Oh, and Mr. Mouse. What more can I say?
I'm Titus.
Good job. Titus Krogman. I think, was that Cash? Oh, that's Everett. Okay, well, there goes Everett.
Mackenzie Bechtel.
Okay, you have to stay up front.
I do.
Yep.
Eden Dietz.
You have to stay up front. And where's Ava? Oh, she's trying to hide. Our beautiful girls up front, our singers, we thought we'd give them something a little special.
Alpha.
Again, Mackenzie Bechtold.
Eden Dietz.
That concludes our Christmas program. Thanks all of you for coming. Now, afterwards, we have a chocolate fountain and cookies and coffee and punch, so make sure you stay afterwards. But now you get to enjoy the sermon.
I was going to say, not so fast. Everybody's ready to head out. But I have a few comments that I've prepared for everyone, and I'm going to give you my final conclusion right up front. Sometimes I'll get into my message and I'll build for it, build to it, build to it, and then when I reach that crescendo, it falls flat and people leave. What were you talking about? So this is what I'm talking about, okay? The reason for the season. We hear that all the time, and we see the signs, season's greetings, and Merry Christmas, and everything, but the reason for the season is not gifts and family and food and parties. It's not even miracles and magic. Anybody here ever watch the Hallmark Channel? All the time. Those movies on the Hallmark Channel have the same storyline through every movie. The guy or the girl, that they both start out in the city. One gets a call to do something in the country or in a small town. And at first, she doesn't like it there, but then she grows accustomed to it, and she tries to get her fiancé from the city to come and adjust, and he comes and he tries, but he can't adjust. In the meantime, she meets a new guy, and they hit it off. At first, they don't like each other, but then at the end, they like each other. And then in the end, she breaks up with her fiancé, and it's a very amicable breakup. Nobody's mad. There's no tears. There's no nothing. There's only two times in the whole movie that anybody ever kisses, and that's right near the end. There's one time about three-fourths of the way through where they almost kiss, but somebody interrupts, and it doesn't happen until the very end. And so that's the magic, the romance of Christmas. And it always snows at the end. And so we see that, and people are like, isn't that just the greatest? But even that is not what Christmas is all about. Now, a cynic once said that Christmas is the time of year that we spend money we don't have for people we don't like, for gifts they don't need. Now, how many in here, be honest, have ever re-gifted a gift? There's about six honest people in here. That's part of Christmas, you might say. You know, that doesn't exactly capture what most of us would consider to be the Christmas spirit, but it's worth asking, what is the point of giving gifts at Christmas in the first place? Because traditionally, we have said that giving gifts reminds us of the gifts that the wise men gave to Jesus when the Magi traveled. They went and they followed the star and they got down and they worshiped him and gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But that was not the first Christmas morning or day or even week. Jesus was most likely 2 or 3 years old at that time, because historically we can put together the time frame through calendars and years and when people were ruling, like Herod, and we can pinpoint it a little more closely. Some people say that we give as a reminder that God gave us his son, and that is undoubtedly the greatest gift of all time. But then the question comes is, how does that translate into us giving gifts to each other? Because there is no biblical command that says we must give gifts in order to celebrate Christmas. Well, the reason why many Christians are captivated by Christmas is because Christmas reminds us of the character and the nature of God. The Bible says in the book of James that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. So every single blessing that you have ever enjoyed in life has come from God. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father. And so Christmas then is a clear expression of the character and the nature of God, which is even more fully expressed when Jesus gave his life for us. Now, God is interested in more depth into Christmas than what we are willing to offer, I think. God is a relational God. Do you know why God created you? Do you know why you're on this earth at this time, living in your town and doing what you do day in and day out? Is because God created you, number one, to do that. Number one, is to have fellowship with him. God wanted companionship. When God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he did that so that he would have companionship with someone, with people, with his creation. And so God is a relational God who wants us to enjoy life, to enjoy the world that he made, in the way that he made us to enjoy it. And it becomes our experience and our privilege to participate in the world that God has given us. Now, I have a couple of questions, and one is, are you living as God intended you to live? Do you have peace in your heart and peace in your relationships? Are you resting in his promises and in his blessings? And the answer is, many of us are not. Many of us are stuck in uncertainty and anxiety and even fear of what tomorrow brings, or fear of how this life perhaps might come to an end for each one of us, or a certain anxiety because our children are out of the house or out at school every day, or whatever the case might be. There are many Christians who proclaim Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior who live in constant fear and anxiety. And that is not the way that God intended it to be. And that's why Jesus came. He came to heal all of our diseases, and all of our sorrows, and all of our fears. And when we reflect on the way that God intended for us to behave based off of who he is, then we experience real joy, and we enjoy giving because we know the giving of God. Now, with every Christmas season comes preparation. And for many of us, we began celebrating Christmas weeks ago. In the church, we call that the Advent of Jesus Christ. And the Advent of Jesus Christ culminates on Christmas Day when Jesus was born. The Bible tells us that we love God, 1 John 4:8 says, because he first loved us. And we know that God always gives us more than we need. Now, I don't know what it's like at your house, but at our house, the season, the Christmas season, begins many weeks before Christmas. In fact, next Christmas, 2019, has already begun this Christmas, because we have to make deals with the family. We'll have Christmas at our house this year if we can have it at your house next year. Our kids will come to Grandma and Grandpa's house this year if Grandpa and Grandma will come to our house next year. Or we'll have Thanksgiving, you have Christmas. We begin preparing, and as soon as my wife knows that she's hosting Christmas, guess where she goes? Nope, not Walmart. Pinterest. Every recipe, every decoration, every idea. And then she begins concocting all these delicious cookies and cakes and pies and casseroles, and she'll bake them up and she'll make me the guinea pig, which really isn't the right word, because nothing she makes is fit for a guinea pig. But we get to try all these things. I do. And finally she lands the perfect cookie recipe or whatever. And then that gets baked and put in the freezer. And then the dishes, the ham and the turkey and the casseroles and the menu, everything planned out. And then we end up over in Hobby Lobby buying little worthless knickknacks to go here and there with all these cute little sayings. And then the lights go up, you know, first thing, the lights go up, and there's never enough lights. By the way, did you know that the whole world celebrates Christmas? It's not just here. It's everywhere in the world. And you know how they celebrate? They celebrate with lights. And you know how else we celebrate? We celebrate with food, lights and food. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Do you think it's a coincidence? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Do you think it's a coincidence that we celebrate Christmas? Even people that have no desire, no inkling, or any care one bit about Jesus Christ or God, they celebrate Christmas with lights and food, the very sustenance of life that Jesus has given us. So, in general, we celebrate and we plan and we prepare for that big day. And I don't want to disappoint any of the children that are here, but I might anyway, because I go back to my own childhood and I remember all the build-up to Christmas, you know, the presents and the sneakiness and parents hiding them in the house. My wife asked me last night, she said, did you ever go searching for your presents that you could find them before they were wrapped? Anybody in here ever do that? Yeah, there's a few more honest people in here. We'll get you all at the end here sometime. But I don't honestly ever remember doing that. I just remember on Christmas morning how exciting it was to come downstairs and all those gifts under the tree, and my brothers and I would sort out and make my stack here and my other brothers here and another there so that we had it all organized, so when it came time to opening, we were ready to go. But then it was over so quickly. In an hour, all that anticipation was done. And then you had the toys and the BB guns and whatever else. And I have a nice little BB gun story that I won't share because it'll get too long. But I just want you to know, when I was little, okay, I'll tell you. My little brother and I, who was a year younger than me, each got a BB gun for Christmas, and we went outside and we were shooting away at everything in sight. And my older brother, 3 years older than me, got one of those big army surplus coats, those big heavy green jackets. And he was walking away about from me to the second or third row, and he said to me, he said, shoot me in the back with your BB gun. He said, I won't even feel it. This coat is so heavy. So I, of course, obliged him. But I shot him in the back of the leg instead of the back. And I'm sorry to say, but 3 years older, I couldn't run fast enough, and I couldn't go crying to my mom because I'd have to explain what I did, and I'd be in more trouble. So I bore the burden. But my dad, eventually I got in trouble for other things because for some reason windows don't reflect BBs. They tend to go through. And birds will fall off the high line if you hit them. And Dad took my gun away from me. And he said, I'll give you back your gun when you're old enough to know how to use it properly. And that really stung because my little brother got to keep his gun. He was old enough, I wasn't. But Christmas, all the anticipation, everything that we wait for, and then it comes. And then just like that, it's gone. And in the Bible, the Old Testament prophets prophesied about the coming of the Messiah. And every person in the nation of Israel, every Jewish person on the face of the earth should have known when their Messiah was born. Because Isaiah prophesied it over 700 years before he came. He said, unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given. And Micah said, in the city of Bethlehem. So everyone should have known, and if they would have put the pieces together, they could have seen plainly in front of their faces that their Messiah was born. But the problem was that they weren't expecting a harmless little baby in a manger. They were expecting a king. They were expecting someone to rise to power, to defeat the Romans and the government that was ruling the world at that time, and then they would come into power. It was going to be a political thing. But God had a better idea. And so what happened was the prophets of old, when they talked about the coming Messiah, they didn't talk about the cradling a baby with swaddling clothes and all of those things. They talked about the need to have your heart ready when the Lord came. And so the reason for Christmas, the purpose of the season, is to have repentant hearts, to be ready to enter into a relationship with God. And the only way for that relationship is through Jesus Christ. And so the purpose of Christmas was to open the door so we could have a relationship with God, a life of peace and purpose and without fear and all those things. And Christmas, really, the Old Testament prophets, it was a warning of God's judgment. They said before the Messiah comes, we need to be ready for the judgment that comes with him. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a preacher back in 1928, this is what he said. It's a very remarkable thing that we face the thought that God is coming so calmly, whereas previously people trembled at the day of God. We have become so accustomed to the idea of divine love and of God's coming at Christmas that we no longer feel the shiver of fear that God's coming should arouse in us. We are indifferent to the message, taking only the pleasant and agreeable out of it and forgetting the serious aspect. They didn't even have Hallmark TV back then, and he already was putting his finger on our problem. The God of the world draws near to people of our little earth and lays claim to us. The coming of God is truly not only glad tidings, but first of all, frightening news for everyone who has a conscience. And only when we have felt the reality of Jesus' coming can we recognize the incomparable kindness. When Jesus came to earth, that little baby in a manger, he put all of us on notice. Judgment is coming. The Bible says it is appointed unto man to die once, and after this, the judgment. And so Jesus came as a baby in a manger, as the Lamb of God. He came to take away the sin of the world. And every one of us will stand before the Lord and give account for what we have done with Jesus Christ. And there'll be no escaping what we've done. And the funny thing is that many people say, well, have the idea that whatever they have to offer God will be enough. And they expect that God will accept it because they tried their hardest. But the Bible says no matter how hard you try, it's never enough. Because you have to be perfect. God demands perfect holiness, and there's only been one person who's ever been perfect. And that, of course, is Jesus Christ. And so God set up a justice system. And God said that the wages of sin is death. And anyone who sins faces the death penalty. And anyone who sins apart from Jesus Christ not only faces the death penalty, but they face eternal separation from God. So God said, in my justice and in my mercy, we'll send the baby in a manger, and he'll grow up to be the perfect Lamb of God, and he'll live a sinless life, and he'll die on the cross, and anyone that puts their faith in him, their trust in him, will take on his righteousness, and therefore perfection will be realized. And therefore we can stand in the face of God and not be ashamed and be accepted by God, and we can live forever in the presence of God, because Jesus himself rose from the dead and lives in the presence of God this day. In Mark chapter 1, verse 15, it says, the kingdom of God has come near. The question comes up is, why did God have to take on human form? Why did he have to become a human? Well, the scene of a 12-year-old Jesus debating the rabbis in the temple gives us a clue. It says in Luke 2:47 that everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. For the first time, ordinary people could hold a conversation with God in physical form. Jesus Christ has opened that door. The reason of the season, for the season, is not to get everybody to come out to go to church, because I'm pretty sure when we stand before God, he's not going to say, what church did you attend? He's not going to ask us, how many times a year did you go to church? He's not going to want to know if you've been baptized, confirmed, and taken communion. What God is going to want to know is, what have you done with my son who came to earth and gave his life for your sins? Will you accept that gift from him, or will you walk away? Because if you walk away, the consequences will be eternal. If you accept the gift, the consequences too will be eternal, only as opposite in the good column as they would be in the bad column. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for the preparation that went into the work for the Christmas play today. I thank you for all the children who did so well and who knew their parts and were so anxious to be pleasing to those here. Father, I pray that in their hearts they'll be anxious to please you. Lord, I pray today for each person here. I pray that as we celebrate Christmas, we won't get lost in all the outward celebration, but that we'll prepare our hearts to meet you, and that we'll take care of those things in our lives that need to be taken care of, and that we'll commit them to you, and we'll put our trust in you to save us. And Lord, I pray if there is anyone here who has never made the commitment to follow you, that even now, in this hour, they might say simple prayer, something like, Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And I confess my sins to you, and I'm no longer willing to try to earn my way into your favor, but I want to receive what Jesus Christ has to offer. So I ask you to come into my heart and into my life and give me this peace that passes understanding that your word speaks so clearly about. Father, we pray these things with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to sing one more song. I'll ask the worship team to come up and they'll reconstruct the stage, so you guys are free to move this way. And I'll also ask the ushers to follow them up, and we're going to take the offering, and then we'll all stand and sing the last song. And did you receive a 3x5 card when you came in? Okay, I'll have to get on the ushers for that failure. But if you have a prayer request, write it down, give it to these guys, or put it in the offering, and we'll get to it. And I have one more announcement to make. That is that back there on the back table, we have a whole bunch of these Bibles. They're chronological read through the Bibles. If you take one of these and you read the section set apart for each day of the year, you'll have read through the whole Bible an entire year. And it takes about 15 to 20 minutes a day to read that portion of the scriptures. But it's also in chronological order. So it's in the order as the events happen. So it's the entire Word of God. It's just put in as close to the years as we could in accordance to how they happen. And these are in the back, and they're free for you to take. You can take one, or you can take 10. Doesn't matter. You can give them away as Christmas gifts, or you can take them home and read them for yourself. So that is... that's our gift to you. And one more thing, and that is, if you're a visitor here today, don't feel like you need to put anything in the offering plate. That's not why we want you here. We're just glad you're here, and we hope you enjoyed the service. We hope that the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart, and don't worry about anything. God is well taken care of us in the way that it is. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will bless these gifts and bless us this Christmas season as we seek you in every way. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Invite everybody once again over into the fellowship hall. Right afterwards, we have cookies and chocolate, and there's a cheese tray there and some other little bits of knickknacks that we can pick through. So you're all invited and you're all very welcome to hang around for a few minutes afterwards. So I'm going to ask you all to stand and we will sing our closing number.